because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws and too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people try to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the damned. Right, self-defense. They say you're stable, but they don't make sense. Dangerous money will not turn into guns. All the food you know is absolute. All you buy is made out of foreign shorts. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tapping to the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roan County, Tennessee. And I want to start off by saying thank you to everyone who's joining us wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Thank you very much. Want to give a quick shout out to some folks already hanging out with us in the chat room. We've got Bigfoot, blogger extraordinaire. Check his work out at bigfootspot.blogspot. No, it's Bigfoot's Place. I'm doing it again, aren't I, Bigfoot? I'm sorry. Bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. I will get that right down pat eventually. Sorry. Also, Kel, the Infidel Fox, has joined us in the chat room as well. Good to see you here, Kel. She just finished up over at AIW. Infidels Are Watching, part of the Global Patriot Network, where you can hear her operating from 6 until 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can also check her out at Red Fox Blogger Radio on Mondays from 2 to 4 and on Thursdays from 2 to 4, also Eastern Time. Oh, yeah, and guess what? You also, after I'm done coughing, can catch her right here on Tapping to the Truth on the live Sunday shows, as she is now officially our Canadian correspondent every first Sunday of the month, so be sure to check that out. And for those of you listening at KYAH 540 AM, Utah Stock Authority, that means every Monday and probably a big chunk of Tuesdays you'll get to hear her, because when we get started, we very rarely cut it down to just 1 hour. And that's what happened this past time. So hope you guys enjoyed. Also, Chief, host of Simple Facts of Life, which you could catch also right here at BTR. 30 minutes broadcast, short, sweet, simple, to the point, Simple Facts of Life. Well worth your time. All right, so I've got some stories I want to get to. I'm going to try to sneak in at least three. So hang on to your socks, folks, because I've only got a few minutes to do that in. And At the bottom of this first hour, I am scheduled to be joined by the deputy CEO of Afroforum, the CEO of Forum Films, a civil rights activist, and a scholar of constitutional law in South Africa. Mr. Ernst Rhodes will be joining us. Ernst Rhodes. And we'll be discussing his new book, Kill the Boers, as well as the current state of land grabbing in South Africa. We've heard a lot of stories about that. We've heard a lot of different stories. We've heard people like the Al Sharptons of the world tell us that it's just not true. And then they'll throw in a quick caveat that it's not based on race. But you're not really supposed to pay attention to that. They're passionate and passionate. You're being told these crazy stories, these white supremacist stories, these white national stories. Okay, let me stop one more time and emphasize the need for people to understand white nationalism, no matter how hard the left wants to equate it, and they're pushing real hard right now, does not equal white supremacy. Because what is white nationalism? White nationalism simply is a nationalist who happens to be white. That's white nationalism. And nationalism just means that you believe in your country, the borders in which you operate in. You believe in your culture. You believe in the shared history. Now, sometimes people can twist that to mean other things. And that's what the left wants to do. Don't let them, and don't let them confuse you. All right. Constitutional law in South Africa sounds like an oxymoron. Well, it is the South African Constitution. It's certainly not what we typically think of. See that Joe, Mr. Gibson, has also joined us in the chat room. Good to see you, Joe. Thanks for hopping back in with us. In the meanwhile, let me see how much of this other stuff I can get to before time to call my guest. Wanted to start out with it's not overly important. Certainly going to be one of those headlines that you may very well miss. It's going to be just reported as a blurb. You're not going to hear much about it. I'm not going to spend much time on it either because, like I said, it's just not that important. But it does make a point, and it's a point well worth making. You guys remember Harry Reid, right? You know, Dingy Harry, as Rush used to call him. He wasn't quite dirty enough to be Dirty Harry, so he's just Dingy Harry. Harry Reid, the man who told stories about Mitt Romney's unpaid taxes and then after the fact admitted that he was lying, with not actually saying, oh yeah, I was lying, just by saying, it worked, didn't it? Not willing to offer anything even remotely similar to, I don't know, an apology or a clarification or a willingness to acknowledge that maybe he wasn't telling the truth, or even offer up maybe he had been misinformed. No, 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 no. Nothing like that. Well, most of you guys probably also remember that he had a bit of an injury shortly after his retirement. He was using this exercise band, and it broke while he was using it, and it did quite the number on his face. In fact, he's lost the majority of vision from the eye that was hit. I think he's got somewhere like 10% vision remaining. It's not a fun thing, and I don't mention that to scoff at the man. I certainly didn't agree with his politics. Certainly didn't agree with the fact that he believed it was perfectly okay to lie about any candidate. Not that I'm a particularly huge fan of Mitt Romney. Would have been better than Obama, but Mitt Romney is still not exactly anybody's favorite. Even the fine folks listening to KYAH 540 AM who have sent this man to the Senate on behalf of the state of Utah, the majority of you folks that I talk to or have interactions with on social media, I'm constantly hearing that you guys are still trying to figure out exactly how it was Romney won, because when you get together, you can't seem to find anybody who's willing to admit to having voted for him. Now, of course, that's not intended to be an insinuation that there was some kind of conspiracy afoot. Just that evidently in the crowd, if you did vote for him at this point, you're just not willing to admit it. And probably not the worst of ideas, quite honestly. Anyway, I was talking about the fact that he had this eye injury, and it was a result of this exercise equipment. It's this band where you're supposed to hook it up. Evidently, he had it hooked onto the door handle or to his door, his bathroom door, somehow or another. And you're supposed to stand there, and you're supposed to, and in his case, it was supposed to be trying to build up strength in his arms. But it snapped, and when it did, it snapped back. It hit him in the face. Well, he has been attempting to sue the manufacturers of the band, claiming, of course, that it was not a result of anything he did wrong, that it was, in fact, the result of a defective product. His lawsuit didn't go too well. It's over now. And from all the reports that have come out since then, it appears it was pretty much over even before the opening statements were done. The defense for the plaintiff, the manufacturer of this band, well, let me just read to you some of what was said. Assuming I can get to the quotations here, because my computer screen doesn't seem to want to move. All right, so anyway, I will not read it verbatim because my computer's not cooperating. But here's the long and short. And even during the course of the opening statements, they brought to light testimony and evidence that was going to be brought into the case later, which includes statements from his own physician that in office he was not using the band correctly, primarily because his stance wasn't balanced correctly. So, you know, you have to stand in a certain way to maintain your own balance and to make sure that you're putting the appropriate amount of pressure at the right place. Yeah, otherwise, you're moving it in a fashion that it's not intended to do, which, of course, when you're talking about essentially it's nothing more than a freaking rubber band, obviously, it's not going to work correctly. And so it didn't. But the fun part was the fact that it was noted several times, both in the opening statement and throughout the course of the testimony, as brief as it was, that Harry Reid seemed to be unable to keep his story straight. Even within information he provided for their opening statement, there was contradictory information. The part of the closing part of the opening statement for the manufacturer of this band said, "The one thing that we are absolutely certain of more than anything else is that Mr. Reid has a hard time telling the truth." Now, I'm afraid if anybody had bothered to just ask around, even Mitt Romney would have been happy to tell this lady, "We already knew that." So there you have it. Harry Reid's lawsuit kaput, and all because he's only concerned about being morally correct, not necessarily factually accurate. Oh, no, wait, that's AOC. Yeah, Reid's not cool enough for AOC quotes, you see. At any rate, I do hate the fact that he hurt himself. I really do. I hate that he got injured. Obviously, he needed to do this. And if you guys remember, at the time that this first happened, there was actually a lot of rumors going around that that's not really what happened. There was conspiracy theories going about that the man had actually said the wrong thing to the wrong person, managed to get his get himself roughed up a bit. I was about to use some different terminology that would not have been appropriate for FCC compliance purposes. So let me backtrack from there. But as it turns out, Harry Reid will not be getting the 500 and X number of thousands of dollars that he was looking for. And he is still what appears to be permanently disabled as far as the particular eye in question. So at least as far as that goes, I do hate that for him. I really do. And so I would say offer up some prayers for him. But, you know, I would also have to insist that if you do so, also include some softening of his heart and mind and as something to touch his soul. Okay, in the meanwhile, now here's some other stories that actually are worth spending some time talking about. Let me see if I can get to both of them before the halfway point of the hour. Let's talk about Cory Booker for just a second. Yes, Spartacus himself is part of that great race to the left. Everybody and their grandmother, really, who's thrown their hat into the ring, who wants to be president, who thinks that it's just going to be so easy to beat Donald Trump, they're trying to run so far to the left. I think somebody like Mayor Pete has actually created warp travel at this point, or he's created time travel, went into the future and stolen a Starfleet vessel, because he went from seeming like a regularly semi-not crazy leftist to just as super loony as the rest of them. I'll be talking more about that in tomorrow's show, because his attack against Vice President Pence is not only uncalled for, but it's completely disingenuous, and we'll talk a lot about that tomorrow. But all these folks are in a race to the left. They're traveling at near light speed, and it's just funny what they're doing to try and separate themselves. So in an effort to differentiate himself from the pack, by moving as far to the left as you can on the political spectrum, Spartacus himself has decided to embrace, like as several other people, this notion of reparations. Only Corey's taking it to a whole new level. He's actually introducing a bill to the Senate to study the payment of slavery reparations. Yes, yes. He's not actually taking that step to move forward with reparations, but he's introducing a bill to study it because, well, conversations. Another reason I think somebody should take AOC around the back of some building, preferably one she used to bartend at, and just smack her in the back of the head till something starts to reconnect and the synapses start to fire again. Because for the love of Pete, well, and not Mayor Pete, by the way, we are talking about introducing bills. We had the Green New Deal. And what was the knock? As soon as they realized that no one in the Senate was going to vote for it, as soon as there was criticism even from the Democratic side of the aisle, both in the House and the Senate, although much more in the Senate than in the House. Well, this is actually not intended to be law. It's intended to start the conversation. I'm pretty sure we've been having that conversation for a while now. And now that I mention it, I'm pretty sure we've been having the conversation about slavery reparations also, and we had pretty much moved past it. But it's back. And the fact that so many people are actually embracing this notion again just tells you, number one, they're willing to pander, and number two, none of these people are willing to put their foot down and say, hey, look, black people of America, you have endured a great deal of crap. But if you take a look around, take a serious look, and if you're honest, at least with yourself. I don't care about your honesty with the rest of the world. If you're honest with yourself, if you're willing to find out about what the white guy up the streets had to go through, what the Hispanic down the roads had to do, what the this gentleman from Taiwan who has been living in your neighborhood now for about a day, if you take the time to find out what all these people have had to do in their lives, you'll find out we've all put up with a lot of crap. It's just been different crap. But at the end of the day, you've already been given reparations. If you are the descendant of slaves, of American slaves, you have been given the greatest reparation you could possibly have. Now, most of you don't believe that now because you have been taught to hate this country. You've been taught to hate America. It's an ideology that has been put on you by other people. You're not allowed to think for yourself on this one, which is also why when somebody like Herman Cain, which is why when somebody like Ben Carson, Candace Owens, even Ron, when Ron comes on this show and starts talking about circumstances for black Americans in this country and how it's hooey that they're all just being held back by the white man, when people do that, they're told that they're Uncle Toms, that they're traitors, and that's the nicest stuff that you'll hear said about these folks. You're not allowed to think for yourself on the issue. You have to agree with them, or you're some kind of apostate. But when you stop and think about how wonderful, how glorious, how completely unique and awesome this nation still is, even in its current state, but has been in the past. Sure, we've had our shortcomings. Sure, we've had mistakes made. Sure, there are plenty of reasons that if you want to latch on to the negative, you can find any little microaggression that you want to pull out. You can. It's easy enough to do. But just like with anything else in life, if you're only going to dwell on the negatives and not even look at the positives, then you're missing out on the best parts. And the best part that you, as a descendant of an American slave, the biggest reparation that you could possibly receive is something that is so precious and should be treated as precious. It just isn't by the left because their agenda is to destroy borders, language, and culture. Forgive me, Dr. Savage, for stealing a little bit of your mantra. But when you're from the left, your idea is to destroy these things. So the notion that you have received this great reparation, the reparation I'm talking about, citizenship in this republic. There is no other nation in the world where citizenship could possibly mean as much as it does here. This is where you are at. But this past Monday, Senator Cory Spartacus Booker said that he was introducing this bill, and this bill will study whether or not slavery reparations will help to alleviate past racial injustices in the United States. He went so far as to say, quote, "This bill is a way of addressing head-on the persistence of racism, white supremacy, and implicit racial bias in our country." He also continued saying, "It will bring together the best minds to study the issues and propose solutions that will finally begin to right the economic scales of past harms and make sure we are a country where all dignity and humanity is affirmed." Well, those are some pretty sounding words, but a lot of hot air, which I guess is what we should expect from Mr. Spartacus. First of all, we don't need to introduce a bill into the Senate or into the House, either one, to address head on the persistence of racism. We don't need to put together the brightest minds, because here's your problem. You're going to put together people who think like you because you want a result that comes from you. And the only thing that's really going to happen from this study is you're going to collect some money, you're going to waste some taxpayer dollars, and you're going to line the pockets of somebody that you really shouldn't be dealing with. That's it. So, Cory, introduce your bill, pander to the people, try and further this notion that everybody who wants to vote for a Democrat has to be a victim and that someone has to pay and that the government will use its policing power to make them pay. It's not acceptable, Cory. You need to start telling people the truth. You yourself as a black man in this country know that if you make the right choices, that the opportunities are there. It's going to be hard, but it's not easy for anyone. The notion of systemic racism within our government and with our economic markets, I'm not going to say they don't exist at all, but they're so exaggerated for those of you who want to latch on to the notion. The reality is it's not as bad as it's made to look. And I'm not saying it's okay to be there at all. But you're going to find an overwhelming number of white people in this country that's going to want to help you succeed if you're willing to make that effort, if you're willing to succeed on the merit of your work rather than set back and expect someone owes you something. And that's where our communication breaks down. That's where our race issues come from. We here in the United States have this issue because we don't want to hear each other anymore, and we don't want to understand the other side's points. We all have a different experience, and it doesn't matter if we share a similar skin tone. We all have a different experience. We've got to learn to start hearing each other again. All right. With that having been said, let me hit to the Edwards Notebook and Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. And let me see if I can't get Ernst on the phone. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
So what's wrong with asking a legitimate question? The United States was founded because people asked legitimate questions. Thus, it is imperative that today Americans be allowed to ask legitimate questions. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, the recent suspension of Judge Jeanine Pirro by Fox Network for asking a legitimate question is befuddling. She, like millions of Americans, including those of us who have read the Quran, wonder if Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota is capable or willing to govern on behalf of American interests. After all, the Quran instructs Islamists to govern to increase Muslim influence, not to promote the interests of non-Muslim liberty-espousing republics. I find it ironic that some Iranian women rip their hijabs from their heads in defiance of oppressive Islamic law. Our leftist Congress changed a 181-year-old law to allow Muslim women to wear the hijab. The friendly Muslim Brotherhood has a plan for world domination. And because Judge Pirro expressed concern about an elected official, she was labeled Islamophobic. So does that make CARE and Fox News Americaphobic? Because they freaked out after a TV talk show host expressed a bit of concern for our republic? I'm Ron Edwards.
Sponsored by David E. Garrett Jewelers.
Dan Perkins here for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA recently reported that 70% of all veteran suicides are by vets who have never been to the VA. There's a saying, when a person's name is written down where people can see it, that person will never be forgotten. Many of our veterans, past and present, feel that nobody cares about them. We will be holding the first Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Memorial Tournament. All the proceeds will go to purchase MP3 players for veterans. I know that veterans and their families all over the country will hear this announcement and not be able to play at the golf outing, but want to help. So here's your veterans tip of the day. If you have a family member or a friend that is a veteran, for $100 you can honor them and make sure they will never be forgotten. Go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us and sponsor a tea or a green in their name. Keep their memory alive. This has been your veterans tip of the day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for staying with us through that very brief break. And it is now my honor and pleasure to welcome to the show Mr. Ernst Rhodes. Ernst, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for spending some of your very precious time here with us. And let everybody know how you're doing today. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much. I'm doing very well in Washington, D.C. at the moment. And it's an honor to be talking to you.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Now, obviously, you're heavily involved with Afroforum. You're involved with trying to make sure that people outside of South Africa understand and know what's going on. And I'm glad you are, because we're still getting conflicting media reports here in the U.S. We still have some media talking heads claiming that nothing is happening. You've recently written the book, Kill the Boer. I would love, first of all, for you to give us an idea of where things are currently with the land grabbing, the farm grabbing, and the violence towards white farmers that's been going on from firsthand experience, and then we'll talk a little more about the book.
Yeah. So as someone coming from South Africa and as someone experiencing what's happening there firsthand, it's flabbergasting to see people trying to make the claim that, you know, there's nothing happening in South Africa and we shouldn't take notice of it. But it's not only people abroad. Even our own state president came to South Africa, came to the U.S. last year and said there's no farm killings and there's no land grabs in South Africa. That's just blatantly dishonest. So in my book, Kill the Boer, I start in the preface, just to illustrate how severe the problem is, by only telling the stories of the people I personally know who have been attacked, violently attacked on farms in South Africa, and only telling the stories of people whom I knew who have been murdered on farms. That's how severe the problem is, that you hardly find someone in South Africa coming from an agricultural community that doesn't know a few people who've been murdered on farms around them. So then added to that, to this very serious problem of violence being conflicted on farmers and people on farms in South Africa, we have this new thing where the South African government has this push to, where the aim is to change the South African constitution, or to review the constitution, as they put it, to allow or to empower the state, the government, to expropriate people's private property without compensation. And this is a new thing. It's been going on since last year, where the government is actively pursuing this route. So the taking of people's property, and in this case, particularly on land, combined with the violence on farms, is a very serious thing, and it's something that we believe the world should be taking note of.
All right. I can't imagine that more people aren't paying attention, except that, again, we're fighting this media, almost a media blackout. And it has a lot to do with the fact that, first of all, there seems to be this group of people that think somehow it's okay because this is some kind of payback for a...
Yes. And that's the irony about the situation. And that's all I think you were correct in this, and it explains what's happening to an extent, that the ANC, which is the ruling party in South Africa, have been fighting the apartheid system. They were campaigning against, and now in this one-dimensional world in which we live, the conclusion is, oh, well, they were fighting the bad system, so they must be the good guys. But it turns out you can fight against a bad system but still not be the good guy at the end of the day. So the ANC is essentially, they describe themselves as a Marxist-Leninist movement. Just the other day, the ruling party in South Africa sent a delegation to Venezuela to, as they put it, to express solidarity with President Maduro. They would say that Hugo Chavez was a hero. They would say that they are inspired by the land reform policies, as they describe it, of Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe. And they are trying to execute their own blend of socialism in South Africa by saying, well, we need to expropriate private property and then redistribute the land. This is happening in South Africa, but it's very politically incorrect to be talking about this, because these were the people who fought against the apartheid system. So that means by definition that they have to be the good guys. But it turns out that they're not the good guy, that they remain a socialist movement, and they publicly state that they aim to implement or to execute a revolution, a socialist revolution in South Africa.
All All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think I have gotten back on board. I trust you guys can hear me now. Anybody in the chat room want to give me a sign that you can hear me? Quick shout out to Alaska COG, Bigfoot I mentioned already with us, Joe, Kel, Chief, several visitors, guests, the likes, and Boyd the Alaskan has joined us. Okay, thank you, COG. I don't know what just happened, but what I will try to do is see if we can't go ahead and get Ernst back on the line. I don't know what the deal is with BTR today, but let me see if I can call him back up. We'll just go ahead and do that live on air. And I apologize for the issues.
Ernst, hello?
Hello, Ernst. This is Tim Tapp again. I'm sorry. I got booted out of my own system. I'm not sure what the issues is. Do you have a little more time?
Yeah, sure. I can talk with you.
All right. Again, thank you, and I apologize. It's been a while since I've had some technical issues, so I guess I'm overdue a few. Okay, so what I was trying to get to before I got booted out here was the fact that you've got part of the world seems to think that this action is okay as some kind of payback for apartheid, and then you have another group that is just trying to protect the notions of socialism, and this is still part of what's allowing this to ferment in South Africa to the point that you guys literally were able to have the current leadership change the South African constitution to allow these land grabs, correct?
Yeah. So the constitution hasn't been changed yet, but that is what they are pushing for. But I think the point that you are making is really important, is that the world is not as simple and as one-dimensional as people would like to make it out to be. And what we find in South Africa is that the ruling party in South Africa, the ANC, is they are seen across the world as the good guys because they were the ones, well, not the only ones, but they were part of a broad alliance, you know, fighting against the apartheid system. And we can all agree the apartheid system was bad and no one wants to go back to that. But the fact that someone was fighting against the system doesn't by definition mean that they are the good guys, because the ANC essentially is a Marxist-Leninist movement. And the irony is that they intend to, if you look at their policies, it's the very thing that they fought against and claimed to be against in campaigning against apartheid, it's the same thing that they stand for and that they try to implement now, which is racial classification and treating people differently based on the color of their skin, which is government control, government deciding on behalf of the people what they should and shouldn't be doing, banning ideas that they do not agree with. All of these things are happening in South Africa, and that's what was wrong with the apartheid system in South Africa. And the fact that they were campaigning against it doesn't mean by definition that they are the good guys. The ruling party in South Africa publicly state that they intend to execute a revolution in South Africa and that they want to promote socialism in South Africa. They publicly state that they, Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro and Robert Mugabe and people like that. And just very recently, a representative of the ruling party said that what is wrong with in Venezuela currently, for example, is not the fault of Hugo Chavez or Maduro. It's the fault of the USA. That's always where what it boils down to. And the USA is blamed for these problems. And it is very serious that we have people in power making these type of claims in South Africa.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the book. I wish I hadn't got cut off because I would have loved to have talked a little more in ground. But Kill the Boer is – it's a lot of information. It's a lot of data. It's not – intent to leave any room whatsoever for you to have questions about whether or not you're exaggerating. It's all information that can be pretty much backed up, correct?
Yes. And I had to, in writing the book, we had to put deliberate effort into source references and footnotes and so forth, because there are people trying to make the claim that this isn't true, there's not really a problem. So the book has more than 1,000 source references, and in writing the book, I was actually quite conservative in the sense that I used conservative numbers. I only went with data that we were able to prove. In other words, for example, when asking the question, how many farmers have been murdered in South Africa, or how many farm murders have been committed, we don't simply make an estimate. We say we count them, all the cases that we could find, and we list the names. We count the names of people whom we could verify have been murdered, and then we say, well, this is the at least number. And the at least number we could get to was between 1990 and last year. We were roughly speaking at about 2,000 people who've been murdered on farms, and many of them have been tortured to death. Not simply shot, but some of them have been tortured for hours, as a matter of fact.
Right. In the process of writing this book and publicizing and doing your work with Afroforum, have you found yourself threatened at all by the current leadership there? Are you in any kind of danger for doing this? Because lots of times folks who take this kind of a step find themselves in harm's way.
Well, I think what the current our government is trying to do with this book and this topic is just to ignore it flat out. We have received threats from people through social media and people saying that they want to come and kill us and stuff like that. So we do find that. It's not so much from the government, but more supporters of the government or people who are trying to push this narrative that this isn't really a problem and people shouldn't take note of this. So we've had to, in organizing events and so forth, we've had to take particular security measures to look after the people who are there and to look after our own safety. But it is unfortunately something that we need to do in South Africa.
Is there any kind of like a split where there are large groups of people that are somewhat supportive of the current government that don't agree with the land grabs here, that do not want to see this kind of thing, primarily
yes.
Because the people that are running the farms are the people that are helping to feed the nation, and they have the know-how. And if you just turn this over to someone who doesn't have that knowledge, it normally doesn't end well.
Yes, that's exactly what is happening in South Africa. So the current government has a lot of support. They have about we don't have a two-party system. We have a multi-party system in South Africa. But the ANC, the ruling party, they have about 60% support. But the majority of people in South Africa are not racist. You can experience it when you walk down the street, and also you can look at opinion surveys that find the same thing over and over again. And also, the majority of people in South Africa do not believe that this push for land reform would improve their lives. They think it's the government trying to shift the blame from and the attention from their own failures. But the strange thing about the political system in South Africa is that the ruling party still has a lot of support, still has majority support. I think it's because people vote for them out of just because that's what they've been doing for all these years, and because it used to be the party of Nelson Mandela, so there's this historic loyalty towards the party, despite the fact that the party is aggressively failing in its mandate. So that's definitely true, that people vote for them. That's the strange thing in South Africa. People vote for them despite the fact that they disagree with what they are doing.
Yeah. Sadly, I think we have a similar situation here in the United States for we have a large group of people that continue to vote for one party or the other more out of habit than where they're at in regards
yes.
to keeping their policy promises. As far as your work with Afroforum, what is it for the listeners who may not be familiar with your group? What is it that you guys do there? What's the primary purpose? And how would you rate your success to this point?
Yes, so AfriForum is a civil rights group. We are actually the largest civil rights group in Africa. Our model is we're not funded by corporations or anything like that. We are funded by individual members who make monthly contributions to our work, and we have 218,000 members, just over 218,000 at the moment. And we, in the South African context, we aim to promote civil rights and liberty and free markets and things like that, and to protect the rights of citizens. We also are a minority rights group. Unfortunately, in South Africa, if you are in favor of free market, that almost by definition makes you a minority group. So that's the work that we are doing, and we have various campaigns. Two of the most crucial ones at the moment are the two campaigns, for the one for the protection of property rights and the other one, which is against the violence that we see on South Africa's farms. And we have achieved tremendous success in South Africa on a variety of issues, which is why we have so much support. I think given the current situation and the push to change the South African constitution to empower the state to expropriate private property without compensation, we believe that it's more important now than ever for us to go international and to go abroad and to speak to as many people as we can to garner support for our campaigns in this regard.
Right. Well, I certainly applaud your efforts, and I appreciate the fact that not only you're willing to travel and willing to come and make sure that people like the folks that are listening to this show tonight will have an opportunity to hear firsthand, because like I said at the top of our conversation, we get so many conflicting reports, and we see this, and I appreciate you just being willing to kind of be patient with me with my questions here, because again, I know what I've read, I know what I hear, and the one thing that we're really lacking is a lot of firsthand accounts here. So I appreciate all of that. And also, I appreciate your patience with me today with my technical issues. Ernst, please, before I let you go, please let people know where they can find the book. Please feel free to share any websites that you want to do as well. And if you've gotten around to inviting people to follow you on social media, feel free to share some of that now as well. And any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, so let's start with the book. The book is called Kill the Boer, and it is available on Amazon. It was recently declared to be an international bestseller on Amazon, so the book is doing quite well, and I encourage people to go on Amazon and look for it. If people want to support the work that we are doing as AfriForum, the best way to do that and the easiest way is to go to the website Friends of AfriForum. That's AfriForum .com. And through that, you can make some form of a contribution to help us spread the word about what's happening in South Africa. And then other than that, yes, we are on social media. AfriForum is on Facebook and on Twitter. I myself, I'm Deputy CEO of AfriForum. I'm also quite active on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook. So people can look me up at Roots, that's E-R-N-S-T, and my surname is R-O-E-T-S.
All right. And again, thank you so much for your time this evening. I appreciate it. I know you've got a very busy schedule, and I hope you get to enjoy your visit to the United States this go-round. And keep up the good work, because this is the kind of information that everybody needs to know. So thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you for speaking to me.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ernst Roots, author of Kill the Boers. And for those of you that are here at the BTR home base platform, I do have links to the book at Amazon and links to AfriForum in the show description. Let me take a peek back in the chat room, see where all we are at. Still have AOC in the house. AOC. And AOC shows up, I think. This would have been a good show for AOC to hear, quite honestly, because we do see the kind of Marxist socialism going on that she's spouting off that has led to the violence that's been taking place against white farmers for nothing more than being white and happening, like that's an English word, happening to own land. Anyway, we've got Alaska COG in the house. I was thinking the A and then the COG, so it became AOC. COG is probably going to hunt me down and stab me in the neck now. Bigfoot, let me remind you to check out Bigfoot stuff over at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Bunch of guests, thank you all for coming in and listening. I'm assuming those are part of the Joseph Gibson entourage. And, of course, Joe is with us in the chat room as well. Kel, the Infidel Fox, host of Red Fox Blogger Radio and Infidels Are Watching, part of the Global Patriot Network. Chief from Simple Facts of Life. And who else do we have in here? Looks like Boyd the Alaskan is still in here with us, and that looks like pretty much it. But there's several guests in here. Thank you guys for hanging out. Certainly appreciate it. I don't have very much time left, but I would like to make the point that these land grabs are real. The level of violence that is being perpetrated against a lot of these white farmers is real. And the level of animosity is real. If you need any further information in regards to this, check out Kill the Boer. International bestseller for a reason. He's laying out facts. Okay, let's try that again. I can't believe this. All right, anyway. Thanks to everybody who was hanging out. And I haven't had this much issue staying connected in a while. See, Bigfoot and Boyd are still hanging out in the chat room. Everybody else has bailed on me because I've only got a few minutes left. But again, thank you guys. I appreciate it. And thanks to everybody else that was out there too. I don't even know where I booted off again. I'm not real sure where I was at, but the point being is that when we can thank people like Joe Rogan and Tim Pool, folks that are clearly leaning to the other side of the political spectrum than where we conservatives land, but they do not hesitate to call out hypocrisy. They do not hesitate to call out just ridiculous notions or just flat-out lies. They don't hold back, and they don't fear the pushback. And that's a good thing. We need more of that, and I certainly appreciate the fact that they're willing to do so. In the meanwhile, I guess that will have to be it for me tonight. Hopefully, after the audio is processed, it'll sound a whole lot smoother. Definitely want to thank Ernst Roots for being with us here tonight. And please, please check out Kill the Boer. And in the meanwhile, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in a little bit of effort, but more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Just a little bit.
gun control is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. You teach the lesson to your daughters and sons, to fear the government, to fear your guns. The new world order's crew, well, they're making their demand. They don't feel safe if you are wrong. You say gun control is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family.
Using both hands.